welcome to Real Career Talk, a monthly podcast series brought to you by The Network, where we come together to have real career-based conversations with internal AT&T and external leaders in a variety of fields who share their career stories and give some real critical and holistic career advice. I am your host, Andrea Lim, and for this episode, we're going to talk about navigating real career expectations. With me today is the fabulous Lauren DeLisa Coleman, future media architect, author, speaker, and entrepreneur who is an expert at deciphering and forecasting power trends, innovation, and public sentiment within the intersection of popular culture and emerging tech like artificial intelligence, 5G, Web3, metaverse, and the impact of such on business and governance, with a unique focus on millennials plus, as well as diverse demographics. She has written and continues to write for numerous media outlets on emerging media and popular culture, such as Forbes, Daily Beast, CNBC.com, The Net's Web, Business Insider, Moguldom, AllHipHop.com. I love that place. I don't know why I stumbled. And campaigns and elections and more. She is also a great commentator on MSNBC, among other media outlets. She is the current founder of Link Agency, a diversified concept marketing and media production company, and recently launched an innovative nonprofit and movement entitled Game Change to ensure that this new era of future media is inclusive of a variety of top minds. Lauren is also hard at work on yet another new AI-driven media company. She is an alum of Columbia University and is currently pursuing study at Harvard Business School. Lauren, oh my God. First of all, you are incredibly accomplished, and all I did was just give a little bubble. You are highly sought after and busy, but I cannot thank you enough for agreeing to be on this episode with me.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. I'm listening to it and I'm like, who is that? I feel like I have a lot to live up to, but thank you so much just for asking me to be on this podcast and joining you today. I've been anticipating this with, you know, just a lot of excitement, and I'm happy to get into it because you obviously don't get to do a lot of the wonderful accolades that you read without a lot of bumps and bruises. So I'm happy to, you know, keep it very real here because, you know, as a type A personality, that's why you're able to read so much, because I'm always, you know, doing, always getting to the next thing and, yes, and more and more. So anything that I can do to support others, you know, in their journey, I'm happy to do it because so many things I wish I knew before. You know, obviously, because I wouldn't maybe get as many bumps and bruises along the way. So yeah, happy to talk today.
Absolutely. Well, you know, again, like I said, I know I just gave a tiny snapshot because I have done so much research on you. I find you just incredibly fabulous. And, you know, there's a lot that we can dive into about navigating our careers, but I always like to level set and start off with like a very easy question. Such as, I gave a lot about you, but tell me something that we will not find if we Google you. Tell me something about yourself that little people know.
Wow. In terms of like, I mean, professional or like what's my favorite food? Only joking.
Whatever. But just something that we won't find if we Google you, because a lot of people are Googleable. You are beyond.
I think, what would you know about me? Or wouldn't know about me, that I am a huge fan of yoga and have been since 1994.
Wow.
And I use it as, I do several poses every morning as part of a much larger whole spiritual and grounding routine that I have in the morning. That's my everything. So if you Googled, you probably would not know that about me, but it is incredibly, it's just sacred to me that time for me in the morning. And I do it no matter what time zone, no matter where I'm traveling or anything. It's very rare that I might not be able to complete it,
but
typically every day. Yeah, that's my thing. So I would say that's my foundation. So you would not see that, but it is. And I always, you know, suggest to people, if you don't have, find a foundation that works for you and make sure you have it, because, you know, you'll come back to it
Absolutely.
That will keep you from crumbling, right? And yes. I actually don't know how people do it who don't have some kind of thing. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But that is what you would not find. And I really had to do that off the top of the head like a rapper. I was like, what? Okay, yeah. So that's my thing.
Well, hopefully none of these questions, you know, are going to trip you up because they're not meant to. Because I seriously think like when it comes to navigating, you know, sort of real career expectations, you have to have that healthy balance between, okay, how do I keep my mind straight? Okay, how do I keep my body straight? Right.
Absolutely.
And then how do I keep, you know, everything else, you know, outside of those two, say, physical elements, you know, going. And if yoga is the thing that sort of helps set you up, there's no doubt a lot of other elements that are at play, you know, from the things that you have achieved to the people that you have met, et cetera. And all of that, you know, has been something that has, you know, defined who you are. So
absolutely.
Let me get into more of the heart of our conversations.
Okay.
And again, you've accomplished so much, but how did you find your career path? Like, you know, were there some significant events in your life? Was it a mentor, a friend, a family member or whatever that, you know, give me a story about that defining moment that helped you really understand to help you choose the career path that you've been on?
It's funny because I was just asked to be on another podcast yesterday, and this, you know, was a similar question. So I kind of have, you know, my answer a little bit more polished. But first of all, I think almost anybody would be remiss as an entrepreneur to say that, you know exactly what your path is. And it mm-hmm. always turns out exactly, you know, as you think it would be. Mine, like many, was it unfolded very, you know, very much organically. Mm-hmm. I guess my first real job in air quotes, out of Columbia was working, in production at MTV. MTV Networks at the time, you know, this was before any social media, et cetera, anything right. that you wanted to find out about artists, recording artists, et cetera, that came from MTV. We were as much youth culture as youth culture was of us. Mm-hmm. And, my dream was to be able to work at MTV News. I've always been, just fascinated by media, no matter what form it takes. And certainly as with an emerging technology, addition to it, it's even, you know, better for me. And we'll talk sure. more about that later. But I started out, I mean, my mom, you know, tells me about like being 4 years old and making newspapers on the ground with my crayons and paper. It's just something that's innate. So anyway, I was an editor on my high school paper. We got an award at the J School, the journalism school at Columbia, very prestigious, came there and looked around, was like, oh, I'm going to go to school here. Like, I didn't know about like, oh, it's Ivy League and you might not
sure.
get it. Just, you know, blessed to be able to be admitted. Early decision. So yeah, I got out and, you know, the first thing I guess out of an Ivy League school is not going to work at MTV, but I just was very interested in the space and I didn't have many relationships in it. I found out that like at the time, this is really going back old school, that MTV had an in-house temp program. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, maybe I could just like get in that way and maneuver, which I did. But I didn't know anything about like even how to use Word. Okay. This right. is like, so I would like be calling the IT department like every couple of minutes. Like, how do you do this? But little by little, I started to, you know, just kind of get either longer term assignments and then eventually hired again with the intent of working at MTV News. I never did make it in there. There were a lot of interesting politics there. You had to like kind of have written for Rolling Stone before. I don't sure. know why. Of course, Rolling Stone continues to be, you know, banner like kind of mark,
right.
but that shouldn't have been the only thing. I do have to say that I believe that whole, we don't play black videos was left in the air a bit at
yes.
MTV. The only people mm-hmm. of color really were working at what was called Yo MTV Raps at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very challenging to navigate there. I was fortunate enough to start working after I did a lot in terms of just like, you know, creative services division and things like that at MTV. I was able to work on production of, okay, The Soul of VH1, if anybody remembers back in the day with Vanessa Williams. And it was all great until it really wasn't. You have to love really being in production to be in it. It's very long hours and all
yes.
that. And again, I was about news. So anyway, I think that was a seminal moment in the career of Lauren DeLisa Coleman that I said, I'm just not up for the corporate, you know, kind of game. This just
right.
doesn't tend to work
right.
for me. And I have different ideas of doing things. So I knew something was coming, but I didn't know quite what. I had an opportunity to work at what was at the time the hottest marketing company in the music industry came along after that. This was during like the mid to late 90s, what we call the golden era of hip hop, when like Dre dropped the Chronic and Cypress Hill's Black Sunday and all that. And the majors didn't know what to do with this stuff. They farmed it out. So a lot of companies were made then. And I happened to work at one. I had ideas of proof of concept around branding. Digital was coming down the pike. And I just said to the owner, why don't you just like pay me half and I work half the time? He just heard pay me half and was like, great, let's do it. The other half of the time, I started what would be my first company that lasted for about 11 years called Punch Media Group. And just fortunate enough to work on projects with so many different wonderful artists and so many different companies. Virgin Records was my first client. Shout out to Virgin Records. And then, I mean, worked on everything from, I don't know, oh my gosh, Eminem's first ever animated DVD, The Slim Shady Show. My company was hired to market that. We worked on projects for Snoop, projects for Ice Cube, like so many, right? And at the height of my business, I had offices in New York, LA, and in Paris. I think another seminal moment was me deciding to expand my business to another country. I was living between New York and LA at that moment and had offices in both. And I was just really... I was unhappy, I think, in LA because I am, I guess, a New Yorker at heart, even though I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I like, because I'm all about trends and all that, I like to bump up against people. Sure. And so LA is very, you know, valet and windows up and all that. So I was unhappy. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And then like a lot of French things just started coming my way. France probably still today is the number two market worldwide for hip hop. So I just did a lot of research. I went there for a couple of months, set up everything, came back. And then another seminal moment was as soon as I got back to LA, 9/11 happened. Oh, wow. So then I was like, do I still fly? Do I do this? Do I that? And I was like, well, no, that's what they want you to do. So let me continue. But my business was never quite the same. Obviously, anything entertainment related after a terrorist attack is not top. Sure. Sure. But I would get major hits like every now and then, like when Jay-Z's company decided it wanted to take Rockaway internationally, my company was the lead one out of Paris to be able to set up a lot of that, which enabled the company to sell to a company called Iconics Brand for what is still, I believe, a record today for a streetwear brand, $160 million. So it would be great, but then there would be mad lulls and stuff. So it'd be crazy. But, you know, living in France, because I never want to just do something without experiencing it. I lived, you know, there.
Right.
And so living there was another major moment in both my career and personal development, which shaped me so much for the better. I learned how to speak French. I learned about another culture. I learned about other cultures, Western Europe overall, the Middle East and more. And so that was just wonderful. It was wonderful to be able to see people who value a balance of life. You know, you don't go to dinner parties in France and talk about, like, you know, do the chess moves like we do in a capitalist society, because that is a socialist society. So they value interaction more than that. So that taught me that you can, you know, actually balance a bit. It's hard, but you can.
Sure.
And so that was really wonderful. I guess the next major moment was when I decided I didn't want to run that business anymore. It's quite tedious, you know, creating these campaigns. And the way I do it is like, it's my own. So, you know, with my team, I was just putting in mad hours and things like that. And I just decided after they, you know, were all able to find other positions, it's not a massive company, company like AT&T, a few. But when they did, I guess I just decided I wanted to pull back and do what I had always, I guess, innately be good at, which was look at and be able to kind of predict and sense trends coming up and how technology would interact with them and how the youth culture, the youth demographic, kind of responds and reacts to them. That's always been my thing. I don't know why 18 to 24, 34. I always say I was that demographic before I was 18 and I will be that 94-year-old in the nightclub saying like, that's the hot song. That's just me.
Right.
So anyway, I decided to do informal research, which turned into formal research, which turned into this ebook that I released published on Amazon. I always say it was something, it's like Amazon selected as one of its best new media studies when it first came out.
But this is the smart power class,
which I did an update a couple of years after that called America's Most Wanted the Millennial. Mm-hmm. And I always say that it's like, you know, documentaries that like are given an Oscar, you know, lauded, but nobody knows about it that much. That was kind of like my book. I didn't have the budget to really market it. And I was reinventing myself, quite honestly, at that time. Time to come back to the States for whatever reason. Washington, D.C. started to ask me to speak around this book first. I was like, well, I know New York, I know L.A. Let me try D.C. for a little while. And that would be, I guess, another moment in my career, because then I was able to understand more about politics and governance and how that right. What would we say, industry, for lack of a better word, works. Right. I was able to do things like create congressional briefings on diversity and tech on the Hill and really start to learn about both parties. I'm for the, you know, I'm not like, yeah, whatever. Sure, I'm sure. For the party of Lauren DeLisa Coleman. So it was great for me to learn about, you know, many, many things, like who knew young Republicans knew more of the lyrics to hip hop songs than Democrats, things like that. So that was another major moment. And then when I decided to create Link, then that would have been the next, which was more, I guess, taking everything that I learned and being able to help companies and politicos understand how to better leverage technology and cultural messages mm-hmm. in a way that really resonates. And then at the same time, as I was doing that, noticed a lot of voids in the market around media and artificial intelligence. And so this startup that I'm working on has kind of come from that. And then I guess during the pandemic would have been another, like, kind of the final, I guess, to date seminal moment where I was like looking around and just seeing everybody scramble. I, not by choice, had a lot of, I guess, prep on how do you manage yeah. a business during a major emergency. I had that from 9/11 without mm-hmm. the financial support, that when all that came, you know, the EIDL loans and all these things, I was like, wow, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, what about all those who can't? So then that helped me, in addition to what I had already been thinking about before, create Game Change, which is, you know, my social impact initiative, so that women, but particularly women of color, are able to be kind of put more at the forefront of this discussion and execution or of creation of yeah, yeah. what I call future media, right? The intersection of emerging technology and mass media and entertainment. It is so critical. We out index, you know, you can look at stats from Nielsen and so much more, but something around, you know, communications, the women of color are out front. I don't care if it's like looking at more minutes of traditional television, using more minutes of our mobile phones, which, you know, the wonderful AT&T, you know, powers so much, but yet not having the equity in that, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially driving a lot of these companies. And so, you know, just to be able to create campaigns and workshops, et cetera, to kind of start to change really yeah. just, I guess, like really perspective and more. So that, those are my moments. If people have kept up, maybe there's 6, 7, I don't know. And there will be more to come. But yeah, yeah, that's how at least, you know, my career has evolved. And it's been a thing that has been completely planned. I sure. do go a lot by intuition. And mm-hmm. there's been a lot of challenges, huh? A lot of, you know, I think, you know, financial challenges, because, and you and I spoke about this a bit offline, that, yeah. you know, women and women of color are not really so much at the point now where they need education. They need this, they need that. We had index and all that stuff.
Right.
It's really yeah. about relationships now, and relationships at a senior level where we can get things done. Yeah. And that is really my absolute, you know, passion right now, is to be able to help more with that, for sure.
Yeah. No, this is all phenomenal, because I mean, I think to some degree you've kind of rolled over several things. First, you rolled over the theme of identifying your North Star. So very early on, you identified like, wow, you know, this corporate setting may not, you know, really work with my values or my needs or my dreams. And then, you know, you actually started identifying more of your sort of career intention, like, what is my purpose? How do I want to live my life? Especially because you know, you're working to take care of yourself, but how can you align your needs and your values with work or whatever that will really shape more and more of who you are, and it fits your personality.
So true. And I'm blessed to be able to do that, because yeah, a lot of people can't. And then you exactly. end up being fed up. Or quite frankly, I believe becoming like ill. I think that sometimes people stay where they are. And if you aren't, you don't go for what you're called to do, I think you can become, yeah, a lot of things can happen, huh?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think career intentionality is difficult for some people, especially if you're not trained to have that sort of mindset. I also think that, especially in the intersection of, you know, culture and tech, women are not encouraged, you know, to right. sort of navigate their careers, to pursue, you know, avenues and careers in the tech space, not wholeheartedly. So if you understanding your level of expertise, everything that you've actually been around, what kind of advice would you give to female listeners specifically about, you know, course correcting their, that mental shift and being a little bit more intentional about, one, figuring out your North Star pretty early on, and also how to, you know, grab a hold of your career so that in times of uncertainty or whatever, you can still feel like you're in control?
Well, first of all, as a type A personality who loves control, the first thing is that you're never like in control. So you have to figure out a way to be comfortable with, well, what so many are saying now, but it's true, I think, every day of the year of, mm-hmm. with uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's first. If you aren't the kind who is a little bit of a risk taker and whatever, it's going to be mm-hmm. obviously more challenging, right? So you have to be able to do your trade-offs.
Yeah.
And for me, my trade-off is, you know, I knew already that I'm not just going to be able to sacrifice what I want to try. It's right. You couldn't give me anything that's good enough, 401k and all that other stuff to be like, yeah, that's stability, but I'll take the risk because I'm always going to bet on me. Mm-hmm, So I think it's important to decide very clearly, you know, how much or little risk that you're comfortable with. You know, do you have a family in these things? I don't have, you know, children, et cetera, et cetera. So right. that's going to make a difference as well. And then once you do decide, you know, once you get clear, then that's what it is. It's not like, well, I might, or there's a fallback, right. you know, because that's when things can get a little bit hairy. I think, you know, you have to be very, very just intentional in what it is that you're going to do. And set out, even if it is, you know, something which is, again, more traditional, right. go for it. And then, you know, continuously be one who reinvents herself and to be comfortable with that, to be comfortable with leading the conversation, to be comfortable with saying, this does not work for me, or I mm-hmm. need more data, or I need for you to hear me, or whatever that is, to just be very, I don't know. And to also throw away these norms of women do this, women don't do this, women only. I think a lot of times we aren't able to move the needle with certain things because we're buying into what, you know, as much as I love it, media is saying.
Absolutely.
For example, I had to even get out of my own like mind of like, well, you know, Black founders only traditionally get 2% or less, 1% right. of VC founding. I wonder how challenging or easy it'll be for me to get this AI like, you know, money together and all that. I had to throw all that away. When you walk into the door, it should be about you and only you, and let people know up front, you know, your accolades, just like the yes. guys do. And yes. just like, you know, other forms, you know, do, who really can't back it up, huh? Mm-hmm. Not mentioning any names, but right. you know, the ones who we've seen who've created absolute collapse of their businesses have yes. been, you know, the boys out there who convince the other, you know, boys
pound
out there
their chest.
To bet on me. And their yep. thing has gone south so badly. It's unbelievable. But the one thing that they're great at is, you know, being their own champions. And yeah. I think that, you know, we should do that. Absolutely. Do it more. You're great. You're the best. Yes. This is what I've done. And this is what I'd like to do. And what?
Absolutely.
And have people be direct with you. None of that run. Oh, I hate when it's like, you know, keeping one in a circle. Just have people say, I need more transparency. People will respect yeah. you for it. And you know what? Everybody doesn't need to be your friend. They might not
no,
be,
they
but
don't.
They will respect you. And that's yes. what I believe every day. How
that
one
is-
has to conduct his or herself for sure, or herself in this case.
Phenomenal advice. Again, is I kid you not, it's as if you knew everything in my head I wanted you to talk about. I'm not
that's
kidding
good.
Because you know, you have to be self-determined. You know, you have to figure out this combination of your skills and your knowledge and then, you know, enable those beliefs to actually set you on a career trajectory.
You
have to remain intentional. You have to be your biggest self-advocate. And you have to tell people, you know, this is what I want. Can you help me? If not, okay, let me go somewhere else. There do need to be those moments where you're, you know, sitting back, taking it all in, especially because sometimes people can pull you in the wrong direction. They could try to project on you something that they feel will fit. And you do have to have the courage to be able to say, maybe not, you know, and not let that take you off your path. Because I do believe that women, especially in industries like tech, we may sit back more than lean forward.
Right. So
talk a little bit about ways in which we might, as women, lean more into our uncomfortableness.
We are one mind, Drea. We are really one mind, because I was actually going to answer that before, you know, you just asked it. I was going to say too, and I think this is for any group that is quote unquote other than, you know, whatever the traditional is, but to not be afraid and look around, because you have it, whatever it will be, right, but not be afraid to lean upon what differentiates you from what the quote unquote standard is.
Yeah.
Because I find that if you're trying to aspire to what you think is the norm, mm-hmm, that you're not going to probably be able to hit it, because you're not the norm,
right,
nor should you be. So that's the true meaning, of course, of inclusivity, that you're bringing people in as they are. So let me give an example of this. I mean, so for me, I could run around and, you know, be like, I'm all about AI, I'm all about this or that, and try and do it on a level of an engineer or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not an engineer. Right. I know how to leverage emerging technology to be able to reach certain markets. In my back pocket, because of what I've, you know, done and what, yep, is I've gravitated to organically, in my back pocket is always, you know, hip hop. There's, yes, not a lot of people who can compete on that, honey. Emerging, right, technology, popular culture, and then like kind of the secret ingredient to popular culture of hip hop, and then, you know, putting in 18 to 24, 34, that's my space. I do it like no one else, and I'm, yes, very comfortable in that space.
Yes.
And so I think, if anything, you know, look at what makes you or your history, and do it better than anybody else. Don't compete on their level, but bring to the table what makes you special, or your background that is, again, the, right, differentiator, and then play together. But I find that too often, you know, we're trying to do tech the way the boys have, yes, and maybe, yes, that's not your thing. They're already doing that. It's like if you were looking at introducing a product, if you, mm-hmm, were a product to the market, what do we always say first? What's the market differentiator? So what is yours? And then, you know, sing the song that way. And then there's harmony. And I think that that's when it becomes very, very exciting. But, you know, we're told to put away these parts of yeah, ourselves. And really, I'm saying that as somebody who has, you know, only maybe more recently been excited about that. And you also have to listen too. I was recently asked to speak about the metaverse, Nokia. I don't know. I guess I'm allowed to say Nokia on an AT&T podcast. But anyway, they had done this virtual event. It was massive. And like, sure, you know, it was the creator of Second Life, et cetera. And they asked myself and others to speak about Gen Z in the metaverse. And I started speaking about whatever, and I said something about, you know, hip hop, because let's be real, Snoop and Eminem have been the lead, you know, it's not like, right, Bon Jovi, right, or something,
right, but,
you know, hip hop is always out front and blah, blah, blah. And the response, like, I got to that via LinkedIn, I was surprised, but I mean, it's, a, you know, I'm thinking about this always. And I didn't, sure, realize that, like, unless you're in the game, you aren't really accessing that world very much. So, mm-hmm, what I have to share, and the access to, you know, artists and management, et cetera, is it's a value. It really is. And yes, it's an, absolutely, asset. So I was like, oh yeah, I need to, you know, put that up front more. Listen, because you will find out what is your differentiator if you don't know already, or it will reinforce that. So yeah, I would say that is, you know, it's very key. Don't play on somebody else's level. It reminds me of way back in the day when women first started working on Wall Street, and they would wear those corny little like ties, those bows at the neck with suits and like, you know, sneakers, and then change to these flats because they were trying to mimic the, yeah, man. And if you do that, you'll be accepted. That's not really, no. Bring your, yeah, superpower. Ladies, bring your superpower, whatever it is. And that, I think, is really, it makes you happy because you're not trying to hide a part of yourself or something, sure, like that. I think it's key. And I wish somebody had told me that before, because I think I would have been farther ahead. And in addition to not keep thinking, and I know that all stats show this, you know, for women, people of color, whatever, you know, that if I just do this additional thing, then I'll feel even better about myself and be able to do more. I do believe, you know, sometimes subconsciously, we do that. If I have like just another degree, or I speak at another conference, yeah, or whatever, well, when are you going to just start? Like, yes, I am enough, right?
Yes.
And you repeat this daily until it's
into enough people.
And then that's just like, that's how it is. You don't have to keep doing more. Just do what you're already doing, but do it the best. Like, be the best at it.
Yes.
And then I think that if that's your focus, is being the best at whatever your, you know, what would we say, a personal, professional brand is, I don't know.
Yes,
if you're doing that, then no one can be a better you. Just refine that and perfect it, and don't, you know, don't stop. I think we can look to others to give us inspiration, but not really to to mimic, because you're trying to mimic something that doesn't, a snowflake doesn't try and mimic another snowflake.
Right.
They all exist in their own, you know, universe together, and it all works, you know, in harmony. I think only humans do this because we're programmed like that. Throw that program out for 2023, throw it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you. It's not going to help you.
Speak. Oh my goodness. This has been phenomenal. And I kid you not, we are so kismic, because I wanted you to sort of what advice you would give to your younger self. And you've already touched upon that,
you know,
and I've also wanted to know, like, how do you find that, you know, sort of inner power? This has been a phenomenal conversation. And I don't doubt that anyone who is going to watch or listen to this episode, they're going to walk away with juicy nuggets. I definitely have.
Well, good. Because I always believe this when my agent books me to speak. Like, I want people to leave with, like, something you can do today. I think this is also like I used to compare myself as well, and still do, to like some speakers who might be, you know, speaking at the same conference or whatever. And a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, they are men, and they're, you know, the futurists, and they speak big terms, and people get really excited. And I was like, maybe I should do that, but I'm not, that's not,
is that you?
Me. Yeah. And so my thing is just like, what can you leave the room with right now and go back to your office and do right now?
Yes.
And because that's what I would want. I mean,
be at your best.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's what I like to do as well, because I think that that's just the space, you know, where I play, at least, you know, most of the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Great advice. Oh my God. Again, as sought after as you are, and as busy as you are, and as accomplished as you are, I am so honored that you gave us the time and you sat down with me and had this very real conversation. Yeah. I cannot thank you enough,
Lauren. I can't thank you. And I do have to say that Drea has waited for me twice because sadly my mother is going through an illness right now, and I'm actually at her condo, and there's things all over the place. And so I'm just very glad that, you know, you could be flexible in waiting, because, you know, we also have to keep in mind that at certain ages, and, you know, depending on where you are in the lineup of siblings and things like that, you have things to handle at the same time that you do your career. And I mean, I think, you know, there's no problem in being like, you know, I can't do something today, or I need to really just maybe go and cry a little bit today,
if I'm
gonna walk or something like that, just to remember that. Cause I think a lot of times people will be talking and be like, life has been smooth and great for me, and I'm powerful, and that's it. I'm never going to speak from that. And I'm certainly not speaking today from that. And so to keep that in mind, I'm giving you the best of, you know, Lauren DeLisa Coleman, but not, this is not like I'm warrior every day. No.
Right.
In fact, I didn't even eat yet, and it's 2:36 right now, Eastern time. Something I would not, I had a muffin. I would not, you know, suggest
just
that either.
You're
not
going
to be conquering the world with that. Yeah, but I have to, I'm in transit and, you know, like I said, traveling to my mom. So yeah. But yeah,
well,
definitely have a foundation
of
spirituality and food, and then everything else will come from that.
Yes. I could not agree with you more. Well, take care of your mom. You know,
thank you so
we
much.
Will continue all our conversations.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you found me through LinkedIn, because I was like,
I know.
What? This is going to be fun.
Listen, I sort of put things out in the universe. I want to find a female author who could talk about tech and culture. And
wow. Yeah.
It was fabulous. I'm
so
happy
much.
And excited to know you, and can't wait to continue to get to know you.
Me too. And you guys are so fortunate to have the wonderful Drea, like, you know, pull all this off and produce it, because you can see that you're doing it from the heart and you're really into it. And so that's that's really nice because that's how you get the best exchange of information, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on this episode of Real Career Talk.
My pleasure.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Good luck with everything.
Bye.